Just to make it known, I'm thinking we'll be able to finish by then, but I do have to hop off at about 11:45, 12 o'clock. And so I wanted to let you guys know now. If we have five, but maybe is Iini coming? Or anybody else?
It'll be fine. No worry, La.
Okay, sounds
Yeah.
good.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Hawaii Island Barrier Council meeting is being conducted on Thursday, May 18th, 2023 at 9:30 a.m. Our quorum check is good. Board members, staff, applicants, and testifiers can choose to participate either in person at the Division of Forestry and Wildlife conference room on 19 East Kauili Street in Hilo, or via Zoom. Like to give a roll call, starting with the council members and then the staff and then anybody else that's on the screen. Okay, Scott Mahoney, representing Kohala.
Norman Kaimalua, representing Kailua Kona.
Aloha, good morning. Kalena Blakemore, representing Puna.
Trayvon Apiki, representing Hilo.
La Crivello, large landowner.
Jeff.
Oh, Kayla and Chris here from Shipkey, burial site specialist.
Okay, and any other participants? I see Angela on. So yeah, anybody else? And I introduce yourselves.
Yes, this is Diane McHugh. I'm representing the Kapa'ona family.
And this is Nani Fukui, and I'm also representing the Kapa'ona family.
And aloha, everyone. Good to see you. This is aloha. Angela.
Iini, we'll give you a roll call.
Aloha, Iini from Hamakua.
Okay, Claire and... You want to introduce yourselves?
Oh, I'm Cindy.
Oh, Cindy, aloha. Okay.
Aloha. Aloha.
All right, thanks. Iini, since you came late, can you set up pulley?
Hiki no. E kia kua mana loa mana kupuna o mako e olo olo mai e malama ya mako pakahi a pau. E kokua e alakai e pakele a mako i ke ia halawai. I hiki a mako ke malama ina iwi kupuna o Hawaii ini. A mama uanoa.
Thank you, Iini. Okay, next item is the minutes. The minutes have been distributed and for review. Any motion to approve? Okay, Kalina, any yes. Second? Oh, sorry, Kalina, go ahead.
No, I just want to say yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve our February 16, 2023 minutes.
I'll second that. Second?
Okay, Trayvon seconds, and any discussion? Okay, just raise the hand, vote to approve. Be good. Thank you. Okay, they're approved. Thank you. Okay, just a reminder again, like I always do, I want to remind everybody to stay on point. Okay, be respectful, no talking over anybody else. And, if let everybody talk and then we can come back to you again if you really have. If you have something really important, just raise your hand and I'll try and get you in there too. The number one priority with me and with the council is the EB. So, we always gotta just in that respect, that's how we conduct this meeting. Just that keeping that as our priority. Okay, the first item of business is drop barrel treatment plan for SIHP 50-10-02-31340, Funamakau, Aupua, North Koala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 3-5-5-002:024. Oh, go ahead, Trevor. Sorry,
Uncle Scott. I also move to approve the March 16th minutes.
Oh, yeah. Kalina, you're supposed to catch me on those things. But yeah, thanks, Trevor.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion on that one? Raise hand to approve. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I'm Diane.
Yeah.
I wrote the plan for the Kapa'ona family, and I just want to make sure if you guys are going to approve it, does that mean that you approve that the iwi is going to be left in place the way we proposed it?
We cannot motion to approve for the BTP. We can only recommend that SHPD approve it. So our motion would be to recommend SHPD to approve. We don't approve BTPs. We provide you with feedback and SHPD with feedback.
Okay.
So Diana, is anybody else, is there any representatives from the guys that made this, this BTP?
I was the one that wrote the burial treatment plan for the family with the help of my sister Raynette.
Not me.
And she's online also. And I prepared it based on other plans that I was able to obtain online, and with the help also of Christian. His review of the plan and his recommendation on, you know, what currently is going on the creation of these plans. So if you have any questions regarding the plan, I'm the one that you should ask.
Yeah, I have some questions on that. You know, this thing says undivided land interest in this property, right?
Correct. That is how it is in the County of Hawaii Real Property Tax Office. It is undivided land.
But then I seen where Surety Kohala Corp had like 3 acres of this property. How can that be?
That's because some of the family members way back in 1949, 1950 sold some acres to then call a sugar company. And that's how they obtained 3 acres. But it's 3 acres of undivided land. I mean,
yeah, that was my question, because undivided land means everybody has everything on the whole property. So correct, when you say 3 acres, you know, unless they have a different TMK, I don't know what part they have in that. Or they just, you know, they have no 3 acres and they just have a percentage,
yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's correct.
That's all it is. And we've been trying, and we've already made many attempts to get the land returned back to the couple and the family, and we're hoping that will happen within the next year or so.
And does that look good for you guys with Surety?
I think so. We've put enough pressure to get them to make a decision, because it's of no value to them because it is undivided land, and we have no intentions on selling our portion.
And my last correspondence with them, they didn't say no. It's like, we'll think about it. So.
Anybody else want to have some discussion with this? Go ahead, La.
I have a few different areas I would want to address, but they're all kind of under Section 5 for protection measures and burial treatment. Before I do that, I just wanted to say you guys have really impressed with your BTB for not working with an archaeological firm. You did a really great job of following 13300 and working, and I know you worked with Kia and Chris. And so I just wanted to say that because it's, you know, you can work with archaeological firms. It does make it easier, but it's really impressive to see you guys take the initiative to do this as descendants. And you're only going to learn more as you do this process because it's very impressive for just doing it on your own with no background in it. That being said, under Section 5, it's on page 27 for the other council members. I wanted to clarify a few things. And then I do have some suggestions depending on what you what clarification I get. So under the first section, 13333, I'll just reference the numbers you're providing off of the HAR. But the second bullet says maintain tree roots damaging burial site. When you say maintain the tree roots, what are the practices that you would define as permitted for maintaining tree roots? Because with the roots being on the ground, you know, and in a burial area, I'm assuming you want to avoid ground disturbance. So I'm wondering, you know, what practices you have in mind for maintaining those tree roots.
Diane, you want me to answer that?
Just related to the tree roots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to go down the list, but that's the first one. Sure. And if you haven't quite thought about maintaining the tree roots and the exact practice, my recommendation would just be to specify that because once this BTP is in place, you know, I'm not sure how exactly that'll work with the other percentage owner, that other landowner. But you want those things specified at to make sure that if you do want to avoid ground disturbance, what does it look like? Because if you don't, you just say maintain tree roots, but you don't mention the ground disturbance that could lead to disruption of the, you know, burial site when they're working on that area.
The tree roots that I know of is not near any of the burial tombstones.
Okay.
And so therefore, we can maintain it and above ground and not do the disturbance.
Is it in the buffer zone or that area?
There was one tree inside the area we blocked off as the burial site, and that tree was removed and there's roots coming out of the ground. We're not going to dig anything up. You know, we are trying to make so those roots don't go down further into the ground to disturb the EV. So okay. that was the purpose of just removing that one tree that was.
Hold on, Renette. Yes? One second. Sorry. Kia. Hamea is trying to get in. So can you take care of that? He says he's been trying for like 20 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Arena. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So that's what we did as far as the roots within the site that we've marked off where the grave sites are, where the EV is. We removed one tree and there were a lot of roots, but we're not disturbing any of the ground. We're not digging anything up.
Kind of cutting it.
Yes, we're not disturbing anything. We just didn't want it to further go down and disturb the EV.
So, Kalamaya, I think I missed it. So you're saying you cut the tree, you remove the tree by just cutting it at the base?
Just cutting it. Yeah, okay. Cutting the tree, which was that one tree within the site itself.
Okay. Thank you. The under the next section, the short-term measures to immediately protect burial sites are as follows. My main question, so you mentioned caution tape. You did say additionally orange construction high-vis fencing will be placed on the permanent preservation easement boundary. And verified by SHPDY. So the orange high-vis fencing is being put on the buffer zone, on the perimeter of the buffer for the site?
No, it will only be put around the where the caution tape is, which is around the burial site itself. But that orange construction fencing will not be put up unless we disturb are going to have any disturbance of the ground. Yes, then we're going to just leave it there.
So
if and when.
So are you using caution tape to avoid, like, is it like a visual thing? Is there a reason you don't want, you know, I guess the main concern I'm thinking of, you know, even the orange high-vis fencing on burial sites is easily, you know, with the sun, it gets damaged, but it takes a little bit longer, whereas caution tape is very flimsy and very hard to maintain for long periods of time. So I'm thinking along the lines of, you know, if it's a, sometimes for people, they don't like the orange high-vis fence because it attracts too much attention. Maybe you don't want people to know what's there. You don't want them being niele and going in that area, or sometimes it's visual, aesthetic, and visual, but I think I'm just thinking of if this is your long-term or your short-term, I'm sorry, your short-term buffer for this space until you get a more permanent protection up, it could easily be the sun will just kind of deteriorate the caution tape. So that was something I'm wondering if, you know, one of the other options is you use like a wire. It's a type of wiring that's protected with like not plastic, but a coating. And then you can put flagging tape on it, but it's a little firm, more suitable for the outdoors. Just considering other options besides caution tape so that it doesn't lose the buffer, you know.
I do think that orange construction fencing is a good idea as a temporary short-term recommendation. But our intention on the caution tape was merely to protect that area. And it is protected with the trees. So the caution tape has lasted over 3 years.
And we just have to replace it, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've had to replace it, but it's just to identify the area itself, the, you know, where the EV is buried. And so we, you know, as we maintain and we clean, we make sure that area is always clean and identified. So.
But I think your recommendation is for short term, putting up the orange construction fencing around instead of the caution tape. Is that what you are recommending?
Either that, or if there's some alternatives, but it's something a little bit more durable in the sense. But if it's something that you feel has worked really well, then that's my cut you to.
The caution tape has worked really well because of where it's located, the iwi. Uh-huh.
And that's something you guys know better than I do. So that's why I wanted to clarify that one and see kind of what were your feeling on that one.
But we can take a look at the expense of an orange construction fencing because we do have a money issue that, you know, funding is limited.
And it is more expensive too. So I totally understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for right now, we think the caution tape after over 3 years, it really did work, you know, work really well for our iwi. We will look into the orange construction fencing and see if that might be an alternative as a temporary thing. Because we will, if we do any kind of disturbance, you know, past the setback buffer trees, we would have to put it up anyway.
Then on that note, it may be almost better. And I was looking at, you know, your long-term preservation measures too, but with your area that you're trying to enclose as this protective buffer around the burial, I know you mentioned the mango trees, but it just because the mango trees they're not as permanent as we feel they are, you know, it might be a little bit more, it might suit you more to say the distance and feet around the burial that you want to protect. And then, and so whether that means measuring from the burial site to the mango trees and then surveying it out, I don't know if you've surveyed, but surveying it out so that, and then mentioning that in the BTP, just for that long-term protection in perpetuity, despite the, maybe a tree dies and you lose that marker for the buffer. You just, looking long-term, a good quantifiable measurement could be a really effective way for you to convey, this is the buffer that needs to have some sort of indicator, you know, whether it's orange ivy fencing or caution tape or whatever it is. And then you can always, instead of specifying caution tape, you could say some sort of buffer delineation, or such as caution tape or orange hibiscus fencing, and then it gives you a lot more freedom, so you're not locked into using a certain material. But the number of feet away, you know, from the point that would be taken, like the land surveyors will take a point off the burial, and then create that buffer. A quantifiable amount might be, that's usually really helpful to put into the BTP to make sure that exact amount of footage is respected. And it can still be up to the mango trees, but you know what I mean?
I certainly understand your concern about the mango tree. And if you look at the survey that was done by the survey company, they didn't use the buffer trees as a point of reference. They used the markers, and from the markers to the site, is, you know, the coordinates is what they use. So okay. that is not the case. You know, the buffer trees are just there right now to show where, you know, at the burial site that surrounds the iwi and the setback trees. But I think the survey clearly identifies where the iwi is located. And I don't
think it does. Worry.
It
does. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the trees are 38 feet.
Yes. But
outright stating in long-term and short-term preservation measures, stating that like a 30-foot buffer will be required.
Like, oh.
You know, that kind of thing. Like real, okay. Really, really direct. And KL guys are really are familiar with that, so they could help with that. That's just a suggestion that I would say could really help. And then I had kind of been looking at your long-term preservation measures. There was the...
Sorry, hold on, Ala. I wanted to add on to what Ala's saying, because I have concerns too. The actual dimensions of that grave site, especially if you want to record into the Bureau of Conveyance, it should be like definite. You should have exact measurements of where that thing is, because 50 years from now, those trees might be gone. All these things can happen to that place. But you know, you're going to have to, if you're going to record that actual site, I would think you need some really definite dimensions on what you want to secure and protect. So I just want to add that into what Lau was saying. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Uncle Scott. Kea and Chris can really help you with that. Chris.
Good morning. So I can help with that. We can do a, because we have a point from the center of the grid. So we can shoot lines out in each direction to give an actual foot to the tree lines to help with that, for the buffer.
Okay.
And you just want to put it in there. Really, I really like, even though it's you guys writing this BTP, you almost want to treat it as if you're not, you know how to behave. You know how to malama these kupuna. It's your ohana. You want to treat it like what you're doing is telling other people how they have to engage with the space. So it's really pretending that, like, if you're not going to be there, because one day you won't, right? So you almost want to make it, these are the rules that are in place. So as if the person reading it is going to be in charge of taking care of it, and they don't have you around, and you're not going to be there to watch. So if I come in and you guys are all gone, and no ohana, no descendants, no one around, every single detail of how you got, you know, everything that feels innate for you, you want to specify the exact feet of this buffer and stuff like that. So just keeping that real detailed.
I agree with you on picking a like 30-foot buffer setback from the burial site, because we can't guarantee the mango trees that surround it. And I think the measurements of the iwi, I think that that would be a better point of reference, which I believe the survey does provide us enough information to do that. And I think Christian can help us with all of that. So I totally agree with you on that. And we should make those changes in the plan.
And maybe it's not 30 feet. That's something your ohana can discuss. It could be 20, it could be 50, it could be whatever you guys decide and agree upon with the other landowner. There's that component as well. But I just threw out the number 30. So whatever is good for all of you. The long-term protection bullet 1, 2, 3. It's talking about wood fence, wood posts. I would just recommend looking into some other options. Vegetation buffers are beautiful, and wood posts are beautiful, and they're much less imposing on the landscape. The problem would be maintenance. So if you're going to do wood posts, they're going to rot. And you want to make sure the design of that is to have water run off them rather than sit on top of them. But maybe including, if you're going to do that route or the, you know, vegetation buffer, making sure you have your land surveyor keep pins in the ground on the buffer. So you have that exact buffer so that if you ever have a post that rots and just falls, you know exactly where that buffer still is, because the pins are in the ground. And if you're going to do the wood post or something, then maybe throwing in something in the preservation measure that reiterates how often they'll be replaced or something, or that they must be replaced at, you know, details like that. If you did a vegetation buffer, like a native plant buffer, we've had, you know, plant buffers, the problem that I've seen come out of that is that if the maintenance falls through, they stop being maintained, or there's a drought, they die, and then you lose your buffer. And you, even though the pins are in the ground, they're still hard to find. So trying to like address all of those issues, Kea, Chris can definitely help you again with that. Sorry guys, just going down my list. you did mention your vegetation and maintenance measures are amazing. They're very clear. Really good job with the hand clearing and prohibiting heavy equipment. The one thing I would I wanted to throw out there, because you did mention preservation of indigenous endemic flora appropriate to the area. If you want to plant within that buffer area near the burial, I would just suggest writing something that permits shallow rooted planting. You probably don't want to plant trees because you've got EV, but shallow rooted native plants. So shallow rooted native plants can be really beautiful. And if you do want to beautify that area, that's a suggestion I wanted to throw out there, but you want to include that in the BTP. If you're gonna plant in that area, you want to make sure you say it's okay to plant because it's a ground disturbance. So any type of ground disturbance that you want to do, that's might cut you, but you need to make sure you put that in. Okay. And then real specific, right? Shallow rooted plants. You could even include a list of appropriate native plants that you are permitted to educate people who might plant tropical plants that are not native or something. And then the only other thing I would say is under perpetual easement, you do talk about, you kind of briefly touch on access, and that's awesome. I would develop access guidelines, like a descendant access plan. The timeframes they're allowed from sun up to sundown, or if there's cultural access at night, and the 48 hours prior, and then if there are exceptions to that. So working on a descendant access plan. And that's my PSA for the day. My cutie. Okay. Really, really proud of you guys, and really proud to see, excited to see you guys back, because I know we saw you last year and I saw this plan and I was like, hey, there's no archaeological firm, and I was really proud. So I just throwing all that out there. Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else? I had some questions too about the you know, when you brought up the long-term plan of preserving the site with like a 2-foot wooden fence line around, but, you know, like same concern Allah has, you know, 50 years from now, that wood is gone. You know, the barriers that you put around to protect is going to be gone. You know, I was trying to look at the pictures and, you know, hopefully there was a lot of rock around there, but it looks like it's kind of like not too much rock that you guys could build rock walls around. But, you know, I would think just in a Hawaiian way, if you had a rock wall surrounding that whole area that you want to protect, you know, there shouldn't be any kind of confusion of if the bulldozers come in, like, oh, we didn't know that graveyard was there because, you know, it just ran over the wall and everything else in it. But, that's just a suggestion. I know just by all your hard work doing this burial treatment plan, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, money is a concern in trying to get all of this done. So, you know, that's just a suggestion too. But I wasn't too happy about the fencing, you know, only because, you know, it's like the trees. The trees probably outlast that fence. But anyway, that's just what I want to say. Thanks.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kalina.
Yeah, I just wanted to say good job, Law, for all the points that you found, and excellent job, Diane and Raynette. I, too, was wondering, wow, what firm is this? And I was looking to see, and I, too, am glad that you guys put this together. Lots of good, hard work. I was concerned about the caution tape and marked that because caution tape is usually used as a temporary measure when there's a bulldozer there and you have a archaeologist monitor watching if there's some activity. It's not something that you would typically leave up permanently. And but it is your ohana, it's your Ivi Kapuna. So it's not my business to say, oh, something, you know, more aesthetically permanent to honor their presence there might be more appropriate. So I agree with the tape and also even orange fencing. That plastic orange fencing to me, when I see it, when we're driving around, I know, oh, there's a burial over there. You know, when you're going to Target or, you know, somewhere on Kona side and you see the fencing and you know, oh yeah, that's what we use to hide, you know, to mark the EV. So we don't really want people to see that as a permanent solution, but more finding something that is aesthetic, that like a rock wall. And I didn't want to give you more work, but it might just be as simple as going a little, doing some investigation on the OHA website under grants, or just even making a phone call to their beneficiary support agent or services. I have seen, I work for OHA too as a land agent, so not in grants or funding, but I've seen Iwi Kupuna, grants for Iwi Kupuna. So I'm wondering if there's access that you can get money to help put up some kind of nice fencing, or you know, something more permanent, a rock wall of some sort, so that you're not burdened with that by yourself, because that is the kuleana of OHA too, is protect, preserve, you know, our culture. So maybe you might go there, you know, together you two can, you know, do some power searching on the web and then make a couple calls and see if that's something easy for you to get to.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you for that information.
Yeah, and the roots, because you said, oh, we're going to cut this tree down because the roots are impacting the burial. 50 years from now, there might be somebody that says, oh, this mango tree's roots are now impacting the burials, because mango trees are huge and 30 feet is not that big a distance. So you just never know, like in 50 years from now, if one of your descendants is going to say, well, you know, auntie, they cut the tree before because of the roots. So this tree now, is the roots are impacting the Iwi. So we've seen this pattern where they did this and they felt it was okay. So now let's cut this tree. And next thing you know, that tree that you used as your marker for your buffer is gone. Or a storm, when we get hit by really bad storms, I was thinking too, we can lose all of our trees in bad wind storms, tropical storms. So like Scott and Law were saying about, they're not permanent. In 50, 100 years, even 20 years, a tree could disappear. So I really like the idea of just being more rigid about putting in the feet. That was a great idea. Those are all my thoughts. Thank you so much.
Hey, Norman.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Norman.
My recommendation for fencing would be, instead of the orange fence, how about planting some palm trees spaced 10, 20 feet apart, you know, outlining the boundary, and it'll aesthetically look 100 times better than, you know, of course, it's going to cost some money, whatever they do, because of the, you know, size of the property. You know, I just wondering to myself how they can, how this family getting by paying the land taxes, you know, that's a whole lot of money. But anyway, my recommendation is some kind of palm trees, you know, areca palms, or, you know, lolu palms, or, you know, something like that.
Thank you.
I have another thing I want to add. When we're talking about definite dimensions, you know, the axis is another one. You know, where would that axis be? Only because in case the land moves on to somebody else or whatever, you still need, you know, especially if you're going to record that thing, your access point into the graves and stuff. So that was another concern for me of how you're going to address that part.
Okay.
Go ahead, Amaya. Oh, yeah, go.
Aloha. I'm not gonna recommend anything, but I'm gonna pour some mana'o, sharing some kona ike. The makavalu, this papa, this makavalu, this whole process with the conversation is on fencing. You know, like building fence. You your hapu must be large. I don't know, you've listed a lot on your BTP. So your hapu, your family must be large. So I've learned from my kumu that you can really set a precedence by having your family bring a pohaku from home. And if anything, set the cornerstones to where you want it to be built. You're not only providing the pohaku, but you're providing mana to the area. can also be an educational site. Gets you a lot of grants if you're seeking grants, where you can protect that area by providing access, a really controlled access to our Lahui, and to practice that building of, you're gonna build a heiau. You're not gonna build one burial site, a sacred site that is increased in mana because your family brings a pohaku. Same when we voyage on Hokulea, we always carry a pohaku with us. So we leave a part of ourselves there. Pohaku can be also viewed as your kinolau to your ohana, to your hapu, and provide that level of spirituality. You don't have to build the whole wall, but at least set the cornerstones. Back in the building of the Kalakaua's home, the palace, it was important that they set the cornerstones, like Waiha'o. It's important to set the boundaries by setting those cornerstones. And that would be your, what everybody's talking about is fencing.
Mm.
But I believe you can really train our kupuna in training, our ancestors in training, our children, our keiki, and bring them there and learn the protocols and rituals involved in building a heiau. And you can add to the heiau with pohaku from around the area, but just makavalu. Have your family bring a pohaku from their home and bring with them waiola, bring water from their home, even if it's from the tap water, yeah, to conduct the Pule, mahalo.
Thank you, Omea. Kevin?
I had a quick question for you. The tree that you cut within the perimeters of the burial site, was it cut and then killed? Or, because it was something you have to be careful, you can cut a tree, but it can grow back stronger than before. So just because you cut it doesn't mean those roots are going to stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious about if you guys had a plan for what you did with that. I'll start with that.
Well, we cut the tree and we're treating the this is a small stump, you know, we cut it down to the stump and we're treating it so to kill the tree. And it was a macadamia nut tree that was in there. And then we took all of the cuttings and we turned it into mulch. You know, we mulched it. And so you can see the roots from that tree that are above ground. They look like they're dying, you know, the roots that are coming above ground. So I just didn't want it to expand and disturb any of the EV underneath. So that was the only tree that we cut down, you know, and there's a small stump there, but we put something on to kill it so it wouldn't grow back. So,
Okay. Yeah, I'd recommend, especially if you're going to be adding something to kill it, like some sort of herbicide or something, make that in the plan too of how you want to go about killing those trees. If a tree, like one of the other mango trees, needs to be cut down in the future because of root expansion, I would be, I'd make sure that you include in there how you go about killing that tree after cutting it down or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on what Homea said. You know, in a Hawaiian view, that's exactly, I mean, that's the way I would look at it too. But I'm pretty sure that Diane and Renette, you guys are looking at this whole thing. I mean, just the work you did on your burial treatment plan as a Western view. So your concern is for later generations not to have problems down the line. So that's why all of this work has been done. So when we talk about fencing, dimensions, surveys, and all that stuff, it's just to try and help you guys get to, well, I hopefully that's your point, is to secure that those grave sites on properties down the generations from now. So, you know, I just wanted to, compliment Homea on his view, because that's the way we all like look at it, you know, but
okay. Just
from the work you're doing, I sort of think you guys looking at it at a different perspective. Okay, Homea, go ahead.
Get rid of all the trees. Get rid of them all. All those mangoes, they're invasive. when you do a burial site, you make sure that it's really pristine. You know, most of our heiaus, like when we did Honokahau, one of the trees we planted was lama. We planted noni, uhaloa. So if you plan to have our kupuna in training, our keiki, it's a place of healing, yeah? It's not a museum or some place to come visit and go pull it. It's a place of healing. And that's the approach that this shibdi should approach. It's the spiritual side of it. But lama takes a long time to grow. When we went to visit Heau Apiki, it was huge. It takes about 100 years to grow that tall. And you know, that's a light, yeah? If you understand the mo'olelo in the lama. So just like Scott said, you know, just makovalu things. You know, since this educational shift, this paradigm shift, you know, we look at things, you know, the papaku makovalu, to allow us to view it from different views. So I just sharing, and then actually, but the trees, get rid of them. Do whatever you can, get rid of it.
Well, you don't like mangoes.
That's impressive. That wasn't here.
There's a lot of mango trees there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, go take cuttings, go grow them someplace else, but those are really deep roots, yeah?
Yes. Yes, they are.
We build canoes with mango throughout Polynesia, and it's hard to get rid of them, so. Yeah, you know, you starting a new, the work you've done is incredible. So, no go halfway, go all the way. It's a lot of work, and nui kahana hoi. Nui, but you have your hapu. That's the time to kahia the hapu. Your ohana, let's go. You want to be Hawaiian about this?
Yeah, I have a question too on the grave sites. I thought you mentioned tombstones with yes. Dates.
Yes, there's two tombstones.
I don't see any. I mean, I don't see any on the pictures. Are they flat?
Yeah, they're flat.
Oh, okay, no wonder.
And but the pictures are in Christian put it in a site when you guys did the linear descendancy. All of the tombstones, the pictures of each tombstone were taken and put into your the website that is Christian's there. He can tell you. He has copies.
I might suggest you put that in his Vera treatment plan too.
Oh, you want the tombstones? Okay.
Well, I mean, just for viewing and stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's just showing, you know, just open spaces and stuff.
Sure. You know, so. We can do that.
Yeah. Anybody else? Any? Nah, just joking. Okay, I guess.
I have a question for Kea and Chris.
Go ahead.
But I don't see. Oh, they're with. Okay, sorry, Trevor. I was like, I don't see them. would you suggest we? What's more efficient for you guys if we recommend you approve after making the substantial changes discussed during the meeting, or if we defer to our next meeting until they've had the opportunity to work out some of the kinks with you guys?
We can come back next month after we put all of this together, or after Diane puts all of this together. But yeah. You can still the preservative. Yeah, but you can still make the determination today for preservation in place.
Okay. So first motion is gonna be preservation in place or relocation. So we'll do that one first, and then second motion will just be defer recommendation to approve or accept or not accept. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to motion to I'm going to motion to preserve in place the human skeletal remains at site 50-10-2-31340, Honoma Ka'uahu Pua'a, North Kohala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, parentheses, open parentheses, 3 close parentheses, 5-5-002-024.
Okay, we have a motion by law to preserve in place. Any second? Go ahead, Kalena seconds. Any discussion? Go ahead, Amir. I can't hear you muted, bro.
Yes. I thought you was calling for the vote, so I'm just voting yes.
I thought you were going to sing, bro, but okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, call for the vote. About EVA now and mana, so I feel like I gotta mail a little bit.
Yes. All right. Okay, call okay. for the vote. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I just want to make sure I understand that we're going to come back with a revised plan for the June meeting so you guys can see all the updates we did and so we can get it approved, the burial treatment plan.
Yeah, and another important thing to remember is that we're just giving recommendations, suggestions. Sure. You know, I mean, I know, you know, money gonna be a factor too later on, but you know, so you know, whatever the best, whatever the, however you can protect your EV, that's my concern. You know, the best way you can do it. You know, so whether you build a wall, fence, tape, whatever, you know, as long as that EV is protected. And I'm pretty sure you guys are sincere in all of that. So, and I don't have any concerns, but I just want to make sure you guys understand you don't have to do any of the things we're doing, you know, but it'll help the process and the BTP go through.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, La.
Also, Diane and sorry, Nani is what the name you like to go by.
Nani.
So Burial Council, just to clarify, Burial Council has specific roles and responsibilities that the determinations, like as far as things that we make determinations on, we recognize lineal and cultural descendants. So when you guys came to us, we do that. We make that determination. Shifty doesn't make that decision. We do. And then we make determinations on preservation in place or relocation for previously identified burials. So SHPD also does not get to make that decision. So right now, what we just motioned for and what we're about to vote on is to preserve in place this burial because it's previously identified. If it were inadvertent, that would be SHPD as well. So if it wasn't previously identified and it's found, that one's complicated, but Shifty does that. And then for all burial treatment plans, we provide them with recommendations to accept or not accept. Within that scope, we'll usually, we have a great relationship with our burial specialists, Kea and Chris, where we provide these recommendations and we have these discussions and we can defer our decision to accept or not, or our recommendation to accept or not accept to the next meeting to allow for more time for them to work with you. But at the end of the day, no matter what recommendation we provide them with, they do make that decision on their own. So they typically, our burial specialists are great and they are very, you know, they adhere kind of to us and they listen to us in whether we think something's my cut year or not, but they are the ones who are going to approve or accept that burial treatment plan. We do not make those decisions. We never have.
So you don't need to see the changes we make to the plan. So SHIP will agree with approving.
We have that option. We could have made a motion to accept it, or we could have made a motion to recommend that they accept it, and then you guys would never come back. But we're deferring, I think. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I think that's what Kea and Chris recommended we do. So we haven't made that motion yet, but we're going to vote on preservation in place So that's the motion that's been made right now. So we have two parts to this. We're going to motion to preserve in place, which we did. We have a second, and we're going to vote. And then after we do that, we're going to deal with the BTP itself.
Okay, one more thing. Whatever you decide, there are some things and points that you know that you all had provided to us that I'm definitely going to take those recommendations and update the plan, because I think it's important, and especially the location of the iwi, very specific. And so I am going to do that. And then we'll talk to Christian about the rest of it as we make changes.
And then we'll see you. We'll see you next month.
Okay. Okay.
Are we correct to understand that the family wishes to preserve in place too?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So to make sure.
Yeah, the family doesn't want to move the
grave. Okay, good. Yeah. I figured that, but I just want to ask.
So we'll vote on that now, and then we'll go into the next motion.
Good question.
Okay, let's vote. Everybody in favor of preserving in place, raise your hand. Unanimous. Okay, passed and approved. Any other second motion you want to make? Is there a motion to accept or not accept the draft plan?
I'm just gonna motion to defer the draft burial treatment plan for site 50-10-2-31340 Honoma Ka'uapapa'a, North Kuala District, Island Hawaii, TMK 35500202024. I don't say it as well as you do, but defer.
Hey, motion to defer. Any second? Kalina seconds. Any discussion? Oh, great. Okay. So it's been moved by law to defer this to the next meeting, hopefully. And second by Kalina. And all in favor of deferring, raise your hand. Unanimous. Passed. Okay. So.
Okay.
Thank you, girls.
Thank you. Mahalo.
See you the next one. Good job, though. That was I was shocked when you said you made the burial treatment plan. Oh, what the heck?
Aloha.
Aloha. Here we go. Moving on to the next one. Item B of the business part. Discussion of Hawaii Island Borough Council membership, roles, and responsibilities. Information discussion. Okay, anybody want to bring up anything on our roles and responsibilities?
No, unless you guys have any questions.
Go ahead, Homel.
Were we supposed to attend some kind of training, if my memory serves me right?
Yeah.
Up and down, all around.
I don't remember the dates, but I'll look it up and then forward it to you guys again. But yeah, if you guys started after a certain year, you guys got to do the what is it called, the ethics training. You guys got to do the ethics training. I think it's if you started after 2018.
I withdraw my question.
I think it's just all online, and before you had to go to they would have like a course here at UH Hilo, and you had to go to it, but I think now you just watch a video online or something. It's different now, but I'll look for the information and I'll forward to everybody again, especially since we have new members.
We also go to the training, even the AGs, even Hilano, everybody should go to this training so they understand the work.
Yeah, I actually think this particular training, I think even staff are supposed to do it every so many years too.
Hale Aloha just conducted get one more session for treatment of Iwi Kupuna. Mm-hmm. And I know Malia does that all the time. So I shouldn't have asked that question. Sorry. But
no worries.
I have a question on the membership of our council, we still two members short. You know, we only have seven, we're supposed to have nine. You know, we haven't filled any of them. I talked to somebody that applied like a year and a half ago, the COVID stopped them, and they said they're still waiting to hear, you know, back. So I don't know what's happening with, you know, we always say we're trying to find and replace and fill, but I've never seen nine. We've never gotten to that point where we filled the, you know, what we're supposed to have. So yet the quorum is always based on five, you know, and we only have seven members. So I was wondering how we can move that along and get that going. Another important question is Hinata still with us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, somebody told me he was gone. I went, what? Yeah, never told me. Okay. Sorry.
Sorry for interrupting you, Uncle.
No problem.
The besides large landowner, is it Kohala that's empty? Kohala's been empty for a while, yeah?
Forget. Iini, did you get Hamakua or Kohala?
It's Hamakua.
Hamakua. Oh, yeah. And so Kohala's open and one large landowner.
Right.
Yeah, which I don't know that one. I know how much you guys love me. No. Because Kohala's been empty since before I started.
Kohala was empty when Fred Cachola left.
Yep.
That's a long time ago.
I'll look around. I'll try to think of someone for Kohala. Now, has anyone applied for Kohala?
Yeah, the person I was talking to. That's like a year and a half ago, 2 years already.
Have them follow up with Kea too, if they haven't.
Yeah, I don't think we do.
My application took like 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
So, but I was a COVID timeline one, so they kind of just ignored it.
Oh, you know, they'll get through slip through the cracks.
Really? I question Kiakua every morning. I talk to my tutu. Why? I have, you know, since we're coming towards the tail end of our, you know, I get a lot of letters, calls from people from outer islands with their, especially Maui and Kauai from the Burial Council.
Kauai.
Especially Kauai. I have the whole males over there. And, you know, they're blaming me. I don't want to be blamed for this. But, you know, I think we talked about it at one point when Maui was having Pilikia. I don't know if, I know maybe this is not the right place for that, but they need help. Our Ivi Kupuna need help. And apparently they look at Big Island to be really polarly. Trying to find the right. I'll throw it out there for discussion for Wala'au Kuka or, you know.
That was actually another question I had. Uncle Nale was attending meetings with the other islands.
Yeah, they've created but there's no movement and like waiting for people to come on the board.
Well, are they still meeting?
I don't know. I don't read anything. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I never saw the product.
They created a report to submit to the legislature. They sent it to us for review. I don't know if they sent this was about maybe 3 months ago. It was
We allowed to see that report? Did you send that to us?
I don't think it's confidential, but I think it was something internal with the group until they submitted something final to the legislature, which would then be made public.
It was submitted, but it's not available to the public at this point.
He was having me shadow him on that. And so I was going to those meetings, but they didn't have my contact info.
They didn't meet, I think, since 2021.
Or maybe it was the last time I met with them then.
Yeah. And they stopped and then they spent like a year and a half writing that report of the findings.
So to answer my question,
I think So a good way to help the Borough Council is something we suggested a long time ago, but is to have a statewide Zoom. You know, I know before that one time I think they had a convention, as Nale said, you know, where they all sort of met, you know, and share knowledge and share whatever, you know, problems and stuff they all having. All islands have different problems. You know, it's we're lucky because we, well, not that, well, somebody left us.
Take it easy.
It reminds me of that, but you know,
talking about Kalena Strand.
We worked good together, but I sat in on a wow Royal Council meetings, and those guys go for the throat against each other. It's just different. But I would think if we can sort of coordinate and start a statewide Barrel Council, not convention, but you know, where everybody shares, I think we all can learn how we deal with problems and how they deal with problems, and because it's all the same problem, it's all protecting the EV.
So we are very lucky. I mean, on a systemic level, some of the other island burial councils, they're not the same kind of people. They don't function the same, and they do things so differently. Like Kauai, like Uncle said, they're having, I mean, some of the ohana down there I've talked to, it's just insane some of the issues that those other ohana on those islands, because the council on the council level, like us guys who are supposed to be supporting them, are not. It's not this. That's an issue too. I think, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's a lot that can be done. I just don't think in our council meetings, I think we need lawyers. There's issues just the way that the rules are set in place function and how they limit us as council members. But then also, I mean, who are the council members on Oahu and Kauai and the other islands and stuff? I'm not saying that any of them are bad people, saying that more so that they do things differently. And I'm grateful to be on this council. So,
you know, there was a few times that, you know, especially my wonderful Hanada Kanakaolis, and so they've come onto our Zoom. They've attended our council meetings. And I think that created an even more problem for them, because they see how organized we are. That then they go to theirs and it's just not happening. Like Scott said, I attended Oahu and it's real sad. Just call Maha to conduct themselves that way.
Good, Norman.
Oh, sorry.
I guess July 31st is coming pretty soon, yeah. And that is usually the date that the expiration of your term is on July 31st. I think my term is coming pretty close. I might be one of those July 31st people. So I think the council gotta try really work hard to try find these guys, because I'm gonna come up from 5 to 4. I don't know what Inanna Green is store for me, but I think I get close to 10 years already. So I think my time is coming up.
I actually just looked. Ini is Kohala, so we need Hamakua. I just looked on the website. I don't know. That should be correct. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll double check.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's listed on the website. Kohala. As Kohala.
Yeah, the website.
And the landowner.
You know what? I think with Ini, I think we were gonna. I think when she applied, she might have applied for Kohala, but I think she applied before Uncle Waiola left us. And so when the Hamakua seat opened, I think we were able to move. I don't remember the exact process. I know there was something a little tricky with that. So I'll double check.
Okay.
And double check.
And then
yeah, can you send all the members when they finish datas, like Norman and all of us?
I'm going to link the page right now on the website. I'm going to put it in the chat. It has your term and dates.
I got to check that. That might not be accurate.
Okay. Well,
unless they updated it, because I know the last time I looked, the dates were not accurate.
Yeah, it's not. It's not updated. They have Ian is still pending.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Okay. Any other discussions? Okay, great. Well, actually, I had one more thing. No, never mind. We move on to communications. You all good? You all right, Kel?
Okay. I mean, unless you guys had any other questions for the discussion, I think maybe, you guys said, can move on.
Okay. Communications, request from Claire Lopinski-Timsey and Cindy Freitas to consult with the Hawaii Island Borough Council to discuss Iwi Kupuna concerns in Kalu Hapoa, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 37-8-014, semicolon 019. Before I go into this, pursuant to Hawaii Vice Statutes 92-3, all interested persons shall be afforded an opportunity to present oral testimony. You got to mute yourself, please. Yeah. And to submit data or arguments in writing on any agenda item. Additionally, pursuant to policy adopted by the Hawaii Island Borough Council in a 2005 meeting, oral testimony for items listed on the agenda is limited to 3 minutes per person per agenda item. So I'm going to ask Kale for any states to remind us when a 3 minute time is up. Go ahead. Who wants to speak first? Claire, Cindy, anyone?
Yes.
Okay, can go ahead.
Can you see us?
Yeah.
We can't see us, but that's okay. Okay, aloha. I'm going to read this. Shala's not here. Shala Tualalale, and she's not here, but I'm going to read from her as a lineal descendant. She's teaching. This is just on the history. The Kama'aina recommendations. The elder Kama'aina who were interviewed by Kapamali since 1996 have offered their thoughts pertaining to the significance and care of cultural sites in the lands of Keoho and Ka'aluhu. The following comments are among those previously recorded with individuals with cultural attachments to the lands of Keoho and Ka'aluhu. I'ilina burial sites are believed to be sacred and required respect. It is the general wish of all individuals interviewed that ilima be protected in place. If ilima are discovered while some of the form of land work has occurred, termed inadvertent discoveries, such ilima should be handled in consultation with native families of the land and in compliance with state law. I would also put federal law. Heiau should be protected. Caves such as those used for burial practices, refuge, habitation, and other traditional occupations should be protected. Care must be used when using heavy equipment in the vicinity of cave openings and when over subterranean extensions of the lava tube system. This is also concerned about the intrusion of water and chemicals into the caves from irrigation and other activities. Final treatment of ilima features and caves such as left open closed buffers and who may visit, et cetera, should be determined in consultation with Elder Kama'aina of Keoho Ka'alu'u lands. Whenever possible, traditional sites should be protected and incorporated into the landscape, thus preserving not only those sites which have been determined significant under the law, but also those sites which were important to those who came before us. When possible, it would be good to use the natural lay of the land and lava flow formations as assets in the development settings rather than knock everything down, only to build it up. So I would like to thank you, Kea, for scanning and sending all of the packet, which was just part of our packet. And only have, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe about 10 or 12 scans already that I will comment on. And the first one is A1. And that is an overview of both lots 13 and 19, Peikoa and Kaina Pehu. Peikoa and Chief Ali'i is buried on 13 as are his children and as are what they would say thousands of graves, because everybody that was raised and born there and lived there, spoke to the Bertelmans not too long ago. They were Kama'aina that worked there. Everybody was buried there. So when you look at the A2 to A6 scan.
Yeah. Excuse me, your 3 minutes are up.
I know.
You want to finish up?
I'm going as quick as I can, okay?
No, we only have 3 minutes.
So I understand that, but if you interrupt me right now, then it throws me off. So I know that. So A2 to A6 is also lot 13, lot 19. When you look at which one is this? What does that say?
C1.
Oh, C1, that is lot 13 before B2.
Okay, hold on. Your time is up. Claire, the other one you want to have your 3 minutes? You want to talk?
Oh, my turn now?
Yeah.
Yes. And then, aloha, my name is Cindy Freitas. I'm a cultural practitioner, born and raised prior to 1770, born and raised on Hawaii. I'm coming from a descendant line prior to 1775. We practice our cultural practices from Mauka to Makai. We still live the old way. I live the old way. That you have received, there's many exhibits in there. The exhibits that I want to touch up is on the phone calls. The phone calls that I have been giving in September 7th to have shipped out there. And if you look at exhibit B1, that is the Eevee with copper wrap on it. We saw them on the boundary of 3-7-8-014 lot 19. And 7-7-8-14 lot 13. When we saw that, we told the bulldozer guy he needs to stop and he needs to go call Shipti. He said he couldn't do that because I had to go call his boss. So I called his boss, Bridges, which you will find in exhibit 42, on page 42 and 43. Exhibit H1 and H2, all the phone calls that I made and Claire Bett made. According to the chapter 6E, from what I'm reading, he had 3 days to go up there and go check on it. According to Mello, who sent the email to us, they went out there on September 23rd, 2 weeks, 2 days later. By then, the EV was gone. A lot of the historical sites was gone. They buried the cave. They buried the well.
Awesome.
They buried a lot of historical sites. Let me remind you, that area is in the Kahalu Historical District as well as the National Register. It's considered historical. These people did not hear us. Bridges did not hear me. Nobody heard me. And there went the Eevee, which is the Elena. In those days, in 1843, they call it Elena, which is the old way. A lot of those Eevee, if you look at that exhibit D1, this is a genealogical time. On this print is a genealogical print. We have a more better picture, but you're going to see people in this genie. I never know what it was until it kept surfacing to me. I see one family in this genealogical time. When everybody makes a kowkow on them, they put the genealogy thing on them, on their skin. This is the same as a kapa. When they wrap their loved ones in a kapa, rather their royalty or people or the maka, Kohanaiki people, which we had a lot over there, as well as the Ali'i people, they would tie a kapa on there with the genealogical ties to tell them what family this is. I cry. I can see the family in here. And nobody did anything. We couldn't even pick up the EVE. We couldn't even touch it. I couldn't touch it. But it called me. It keeps calling me. And it's not of this world either.
Okay, Cindy, 3 minutes, but anybody want to make comments and stuff on what was brought up? Go ahead, Trayvon.
Well, we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, last meeting, when you guys were with us, I had asked if any of you guys had seen the Eevee, and you guys said no one physically saw the Eevee. It was just through oral testimony. And then I've got your picture here of D1, but you can't make out anything. All the pictures are really good, and then you get to D1.
That one, I see that one. Even mine's that came out like that. But we can scan another one that we have a clear picture of that we're here looking at it.
Okay, okay. I'm going back to this from last meeting too. Last time you guys said you did not physically see anything.
That was Shaola. I did not say that. I didn't say that. Okay. And we met with Ampikalani Kahulumu, and we met with the caves right there, that whole system of caves. I mean, only person was there was me, Claire, Bulldozer, the Bulldozer operator, and Simi and Simi's daughter. That's the only people was there. Shaola, the one didn't see it, she wasn't there.
Okay, mahalo for that clarification.
Okay, hold on, La.
So Shaola, what I understood last time was that Shaola is the lineal descendant.
Correct.
And she wasn't able to make it today.
No, she's working.
Teaching class. That's why right she now. Wrote. That's why she wrote what you guys interrupted me.
G5, yeah.
Yeah, and saying that's what I was saying when I was saying Shaola's words.
The testimony is her testimony.
Yes.
Is G5.
Yes. G5. Correct.
And she in G5 mentions that her kupuna walked through the caves of Kahalu'u.
Correct.
And mentioned that Pe'ekua and Kaina Pehu were located lot 13 and 19.
Well, that whole area. Yeah.
And that they, so this is her secondhand, but their firsthand experience, witness of Eevee Kupuna laid in those caves. So I did see that. I do have to agree. I can't see the photo, but that's okay. I think what would then, you know, reading Nicole Mello, our the Hawaii Island lead archaeologist email, she kind of goes through the history and of this these communications with you guys and her site visit and the AIS not having identified these Eevee. Where we're at as a council is that we can kuka all we want, but this is something that needs to be addressed with SHPTI. And we can support that, but and there's a connection, you know, with the burial specialist, but because we're basically in a position where there's an oral account of Eevee Kupuna. And that is super important. I recognize that. We all recognize that as a valid account. But the oral account is what is from Shaola, of course. And then we have an AIS that was completed that did not identify any significant burial sites, or any burial sites, I should say. So no Eevee were identified on that AIS. And then post AIS, the construction that was completed on those properties have approved permits. So I did see that you included all of those permits. So we have approved EA, approved SMA, all the permits were approved. And so we're kind of in a situation here where I don't know if you guys were on and able to listen when we were talking with the Ohana who just wrote up the BCP, but there's only a few things that we actually have any type of jurisdiction over, in a sense.
I understand.
And I kind of mentioned those. And in an effort to be efficient, I do want to clarify that we can hear you, and we do hear you, and we mahalo you for coming to bring this to our attention. If any of us were to do anything to further kakou or support you, it would be as individuals with an invested interest in what's happening, and our individual and personal investment in wanting to help see you through this process. But it is a process that would have to go to Shifty, and it has gone to Shifty, and that response that Nicole kind of gave you is where they're at as far as on the Shifty end. And that's kind of the difficult part of this process, is that we are in a position where we can only do what we can do with the information that we have, and then the, I guess, evidence that we have, in a sense. And we're kind of at the point as a council where we really don't have, and correct me if I'm wrong, council members, other council members, I have nothing else that I can give you besides the recommendation that you continue to pursue this process through Shifty. And if if there's a way that we can continue to, you know, if there's a way that the burial council can kakou, it's going to be when you're able to identify that burial site, because then you'll go through the BTP, you'll have to do a burial treatment plan and things like that. But we legally don't have the ability, you know, we're community members who have been brought onto this council to deal with very specific matters tied to previously identified burials, burial treatment plans, and descendant recognition. So I think that would be the only comment that I can make. And I'm not sure if anybody else on the council, I think over Desmond, like, speak.
Go ahead, Homel.
You know, we're here for you, for our Ivi Kupuna, first and foremost. Unfortunate thing, like Lars described, we got to stay inside this box. And I hate this box. And we're here to, you know, the borough council, there's kind of regulation that Scott is saying to me, because it gets really emotional, and I feel the emotions that you folks go through. Nui kahana, you know, eha kapu uvai hoi. The na'au is not really, you know. But understand that we not the, unfortunately, the state of Hawaii get us under the thumb, yeah. And we gotta really we gotta look at the evidence and notice that we the evidence. They're the criminals. You know, and it's on the record. I'm not afraid to say that, but you know, so I understand the emotions, and what Lai is presenting, what Scott is trying to do, is trying to keep control. It gets very emotional. We went overboard many times, you know. So, and my other one was, I know, I forgot your name, Ikolamai, but a lot of stuff she's reading verbatim. Yeah, I've read this. It's really extensive, really long. But if you can condense that in a way where you found solutions. The other one is to have it's really important to have the lineal descendant here too, you know, because they actually are the voice, yeah? You force the kakou, yeah? But you know, no shake your head, because you're not a lineal descendant, the lady sitting behind you.
I'm not shaking my head. I was listening to the baby just to get a little help.
So in closing, you know, I just kakou las, you know, and what we are faced with as a burial council, but never stray away from our emotions in supporting you folks, because we're right there with you folks. Mahalo.
I agree with Hamea. You know, we definitely, we're there with you guys, but, you know, the problem was last time, you know, according to the archaeologists, no Ivi. According to the AIS, no Ivi. You know, even claiming lineal, you have to have Ivi to claim lineal. So that presents a big problem for the council. You know, how we can protect you guys and the Ivi, you know, when so far there's no evidence of EV. You know, we can talk oral stuff and all that other stuff, but you know, that was the big obstacle for us to come in and say, okay, how are we really going to help you? You know, when we can't even find the EV and you know, I mean, you said the EV was there, you know, in 2005, 2007, they said it wasn't there, you know, and then when you guys found it or saw it, you know, 2 weeks later, when Milo went to check the site out, you know, it wasn't there. He said they were all gone again. So, you know, I don't know where we can step in, but you know, you definitely need proof of barrels in EV there. So that's the biggest problem we face right now in helping you guys. So, good talk.
And to reiterate this, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but that's not to say that we don't understand how that we're not trying to say, oh, well, there says there's no EV, there's no EV. That's not what we're saying. We're saying in this process, these are things that we need to have to be able to support you the way that we can as a council. That doesn't mean that there aren't, there's plenty of situations where this kind of thing has happened, and we all know there were EV. So the kaumaha of that iha, you know, we understand and we recognize that, but that's what we have to acknowledge as a council is where we are actually capable and have the capacity to support you, and the capacity that we have to as a council support you falls within this box that Uncle Desmond was talking about. And we don't like the box at all. We were actually just talking about it before we got onto this topic. We were talking about the ways that, you know, our hands are tied and what teeth do we have and how do we get more teeth? And that's on a legal level that is somewhere else. That's the kind of stuff that you need lawyers for, and you need a whole lockui to address. And those are systemic issues. And the burial council is not lacking its issues systemically. And so we want to acknowledge that and on the record. Yeah. So,
you know, if we can makavalu this, yeah, yes. We can look at this to a different view. You guys actually are blessed in a sense. You have a council to talk with.
Yes.
You're not alone in this struggle. We with you in this struggle. Yeah, because we have, like I said, Ivi Kupuna, but you have a council to voice your mana'o. There's other people out there, Koloa for a good example on Kauai. They don't have a council. They don't have a council to report to. And you know, it's sad because it's my family, Koloa. You know how males out there besides Wainiha, you know. Maui, just same, my family in Hana, they don't have a council to speak to. You know, so if we had the power, and I fight for this, you know, like I said that earlier, if we can help our other council members, our lahui, our hapu, to you know, to mihi and get it all done, well, we there for you guys. We, just because we sit on a council, that doesn't mean we're not to struggle with you folks. Just, you know, mahalo kia koa, that big island, you know. It's pretty cool, you know.
Go ahead, Cindy. Somebody want to
Yes. Again?
Go ahead.
I have a question for La. You mentioned a recommendation. What do you mean by a recommendation?
Good question. What more did I say?
You said that you can try to see if I need a recommendation.
I maybe was talking about our what we are allowed to do as a council.
You mentioned the attorney.
So yeah, I did. I recommended an attorney. But realistically, if I'm looking at it from a legal perspective right now, what you have an oral account, which I I have a lot of issues with the way that people are not recognizing our oral accounts of things, our oral histories, the way that I feel is appropriate. That's a personal thing, right? But you have this oral account of Evie in this area, right? So if I think about it today, how I would handle this, say there's a property and somebody's going to build a house and I know there's Evie. The process that I would go about in that moment is to identify, and I really don't like this. This process is not conducive with how I feel as like what is appropriate as a Hawaiian, but you have to get an archaeologist or an archaeological firm to go out with you, identify the EV, take a GPS point, mm-hmm. and get it registered as an identified burial site. Reach out to descendants, get them registered as lineal and cultural descendants, and you go through that process. Then they're locked in. These developers, these people who want to build houses, they can't say, oh, there's nothing there, or they can't. I mean, I love, I think we have amazing archaeologists on this island at this point. We have great firms that do really good work and have really good hearts. We have a lot of Hawaiians, but there was a point in time where they hid things, you know, there's shady stuff that happened. Anything from the early 2000s, cannot trust. Those AIS are really, they were done for development. But that being said, get all of that set in stone, identify the site, whether it's a burial, a heiau, whatever it is, get it registered. And then that landowner in perpetuity, no matter how many times that property changes hands, they're locked in because it's on the radar. Now there's still a lot of issues that come after that, but that's the immediate process that happens. And the issue that you guys are facing and that we face oftentimes is that these developers and have been here for a while now, and we didn't have this process early 2000s, even 2015, our process wasn't super maikai. So we're in this position where, yeah, our kupuna said there were Evie there. How come they're not there? Is it because we're all lying and making up stories? You know, that's definitely not the case, but we didn't have the tools in our belt and the knowledge that we'd have to fight the way we fight to protect our spaces. So we didn't think, you know, your Shala's tutu guys, they didn't think, oh, we got to go get an archaeologist to come out here and identify these Evie and take a GPS point. Because that's also just not respectful. We don't go and dig up our Evie. That's wrong. So all of that being said, that's kind of where we're in this transitional stage where we're doing what we got to do now because we know we're learning how to play the game, really. But our council was created also to sort of address these issues, but there's a lot of ways that we were limited intentionally. Oh. And understanding all of that, that's where, you know, we support you, but we're in this uphill with you guys where we're like, okay, we have a lot of limitations. We have a lot of issues. Why aren't we included in these decisions? And Shipti also has amazing people working for them, and they're in an uphill battle, and they have all these systemic issues they got to deal with, right? Kea and Chris want to do what they can, and they do the best they can, but they are so in that uphill battle with us. So it's what it is, and we try to make it better. And ideally, we get more Hawaiians in these spaces and places so that things start getting better. But they are definitely not perfect, and they have not completely, you know, improved. So I guess that's where. Just wanted to mahalo you guys, but that's kind of all we have to really haviaku ya olua right now. Mm-hmm. Not much. You know, it really sucks. Like for me personally, I don't like having to say, we can't do anything, can't help. But we can be in it with you and tell you that you're not crazy. We don't think you're crazy. You know, we're not saying that, because I think a lot of times.
Maybe Lily.
Hey. But I just wanted to say that it's not, we are not trying to be dismissive.
Yeah,
it's very painful for us to have to handle it the way we're handling it too.
Just 1 minute,
So I have,
you know, the society and the world we live in, you know, it makes it impossible for us to be authentic. Right. You know, our society, it punishes the truth, yeah, and it embraces lies. Yeah, and all we need to be is for you, just be you. You know, I want to just echo on what Lau mentioned about attorney. You know, I just attended my niece's graduation from law school. Mm-hmm. 14 of them graduated in native Hawaiian law, native law. They have access to all the all the documents. If you have family that just graduated, there was 14 of them. I mean, it was a whole graduating class, and 90% was Kanaka Maoli, and they're in there for the fight.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like I mentioned earlier, that's our kupuna in training, yeah? But put them, they would love to do that. They never taken the bar yet, but they have access to information. And, you know, because that battle, it involves mitigation, law and mitigation, you know, to make changes, yeah? So, you know, my 1 minute is up.
Can you put their name in the chat box?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you just go to William Messner Law School. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah,
my niece is from Kalapana, so she's in a battle.
Yes.
But there's many of them and other areas of jurisprudence, yeah?
Yeah.
That can, you know, I think because they're young, they want to fight.
Yeah.
At that point. So, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's a few from Kona, too.
Hmm.
I just wanted to add that.
So I have one question that I wanted to ask, if that's okay. Yeah. I am a practitioner of 51 years, and I wasn't nodding my head. I just got back from sites and places.
Finish with your statement.
So, I will, but I show you that respect. I expect the same respect. When we went to when the archaeological report, and Cindy has all of that down, that should have been done. But when we saw both the well and the cave, we took pictures before and after, which is what we were trying to say. When your archaeologists, and when they came over there, it had all been demolished. So there was trucks that took away the rocks, that took away the well, the cement pad is now over the cave entrance. And so that's what we were trying to show. And we thought that from learning from Cindy and from others that there is a violation that you guys have the right to do as a council to say that there were things that were violated. And I think Cindy, you can read that.
Yeah, Shipke has that. Shipke has to do that.
Even the box in the removal. Yeah. So, but as a burial council, can't you recommend or say that these things were done and that the archaeologists, the two that went out there, didn't see what we saw and documented? So that's my question.
Good luck.
No, we can't. If you'd like, I can ask, maybe Kia can send you the burial council roles and responsibilities, very specific. The bullet list, I can say again, we recognize lineal cultural descendants. We make determinations on preservation in place or relocation for only previously identified burials. That's something recognized in an AIS and beforehand. And we do not make any determination on inadvertence. And then lastly, we provide recommendations to accept or not to accept burial treatment plans, but we only make recommendations on those as well. That's it. There's a few little I would call like housekeeping office duties that we can do. We can help Shipti with their records. We're supposed to support and maintain their records of descendants and things like that. They're all kind of other back of house type of things, but those are the three things that we do. That's it. when communications come in, such as yours, we mahalo that and we can hear that. That's it. But it's pretty specific, and maybe Kea or Chris can send that to you.
Yes,
That's it.
So you have to see them in the ground. Is that what you're saying? And say,
no.
Documented already that they are in these caves.
No, I mean not. That's not to do with us. Like previously that. Identified and inadvertent are just designations of types of burials. The inadvertent is, I hate to say it this way, it's like accident on the fly. It's really not the case. That's not really true in the sense on a personal level. I don't necessarily feel that way, but previously identified are going to be identified, I guess this, in layman's terms, before any type of work is being done, before any permits are gotten, and or in an archaeological inventory survey, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kea, Chris, but no, we don't need to see the burial, but that's more of Shifty side of things to get it. They have different processes for how they identify burials, and that's separate from us. We're not involved in the process at all. We are here as a council to do those three things I mentioned.
To put into perspective, 107 pages of your evidence is stacked up against you guys. Lenin. We cannot act on that because the evidence, like shared earlier, is stacked up against you guys. And there's nothing we can do about that. Sorry, but that's the box we're in.
It's hard for us to step in because, you know, if you follow the process, which, you know, you probably did, because all of a sudden we sent the archaeologists down there. They had an AIS that they went over. You know, the process stopped right when they couldn't find Evie. You know, for us to take that burden from you, you know, we still short of having on burrows, on actual burrow site that you know, that the experts like the archaeologists are can verify. So that's a big problem for this adventure that you guys taking on and stuff like that. So
we're not saying there isn't any Evie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're not saying that. Yeah. We're not saying that at all. I'm saying the evidence that you presented, the 107 pages, is stacked up against you folks. Mm-hmm. Stacked up against all of us. Yeah. From your side, your perspective, even as us as council members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would love to go against it, but that box, you know.
Yeah.
They keep on tight lock on them. And I don't like it. The council members over here don't like it. I can speak for mm-hmm. them for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mahalo you guys for all the input. And yes, can you send me that process on your what burial councils do and you know, all that good stuff. So that way I can educate myself and look at it very good so I know how to approach things.
You can find it at the State of Hawaii Preservation Department. It's all in there. It's all, if I can have all the members of every island, all everything.
You have to remember, but I must have missed something. They have a lot of link on there.
Yeah, but they have when you look on the top where it says council members, and then they have another section for rules and regulations and stuff like that. It's all in there. You just got to look through it, but that's where I would, if I would send you a copy, it would come off that website.
If you want, it's available online. You can look up HAR, Hawaii Administrative Rules. I think it's 13300.
Yep. I keep hearing that rule.
Yeah, so 13300 is rules of practice. I think it's 13300. Mm-hmm. Rules of practice and procedure relating to burial sites and human remains. So 13300 is kind of, is that main guiding chapter of administrative rules that we would reference for these types of things. It's going to go over like all the general things. It also talks about proper treatment of burials and everything, but I want to say that 13300 is when 13303 is burial council.
And you get the ethics role, ethics commission,
and you get the state cultural commission. Yeah, but in talking about laws, the three responsibilities that we have as a council, the main three, the only three, you know, burial in place, EV related, you know, burial treatment plan, accepted or accepted. You need EV, you need on burial. And lineal cultural, you need the burial. So that's where it still goes back to the same problem. Our responsibilities only concern the EV. You know, if we cannot have proof or whatever, I mean, we all know we get EV all over the place, you know, but for your particular case, you know, we need to have some kind of something to step on and start moving. So that's the problem, you know, and you know, we're sorry we cannot help right now, but maybe if your process moves on to something where, yeah, so now we say, okay, well, we found EVL, okay, now we're gonna do, we follow the process, and then the borough council, we come in at the end of everything, you know, so that's where we can help you when it comes to us. Right now, it's way before us. So.
But, I'm looking on you guys' website under the Burial Council Members Island Burial Council, and it says right here program rules and regulations. But when I click on it, it tells me how to submit to SHPTE and announcements.
I will put the
website.
I'm going to put it in the chat. I'm just going to put, you can Google this.
Okay.
I might be giving you the, not the exact number, but I think it's 300324. It might be, that's a lie. Hold on. 13. Okay. Just look up this. R13300. Boy, maybe to
24? Specify. Yeah.
24, I think it's 13324. There might not be a three. And then you can read about us, our roles and responsibilities. Pretty specific.
Okay. We're gonna have to.
I see it. Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna have to bring this to an end already.
Okay. Thank you so much for you guys' time.
No, thank you, Cindy and Claire.
Thank you.
Okay. Announcements. The next borough council meeting is Thursday, June 15th at 9:30 a.m. Move to adjourn.
There was a request by one of the council members to have the next burial council meeting in person in Kona. So I don't know if that's something you guys wanted to consider.
I don't know. I don't know if I can make it in person. But I can always join on. We still, as long as we still get that option, right? You want to run them in Kona? It's all right with me. But you know, we still would have an option of Zoom, right?
Yeah.
Lunch.
Technically, yeah.
You guys always like a couple years of lunch.
I know. I want to be fed.
Yeah, we're gonna be fed. I might be done now. But
you know, I call my but June 15th. I mean, June 15th. I won't be. I'll be on the ocean. For 2 weeks, hopefully sooner than that. Yeah, so I won't be able to attend that.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. And then when I do the follow-up quorum later this month, I'll ask one more time if anybody wants to do that. Yeah. If I did make it, it would be at 11, so that us Silo folk don't have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive to Kona.
We could go the night before and stay at Scott Mahoney's house. He has lots of room.
You can feed us lunch too.
I second that motion to adjourn.
All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody. And see you guys later. Take care.